BingeBots.
Hey, hi again. We are back. This is Samiran, Sheetal and Nilesh of the Three Techies Banter team. I'll kind of kick it off before I hand it over to my friends. You may know this if you are a real Walt Disney buff, but I was recently able to trace Donald Duck's twin sister. Her name is Della, and she was first mentioned in 1937 and made her animation debut in 2017. And she is the mother of Huey, Dewey, and Louie. How about that? And just because Nilesh is based in Ireland, I thought this one should be dedicated to him. So, Nilesh, I mean, did you know that in England, if you leave a party without saying a goodbye, it is called a French exit? In France, it is called an English exit. And in the US, it is called an Irish goodbye.
I'm wondering, does this have a name in India? It won't be very nice.
I can see a few choice words in Hindi, but I'm going to refrain.
That could be homework.
Because YouTube will otherwise short our video and not put it up over there for anyone to view.
Okay. So after all this fun and laughter, we thought we'll put my piece in the middle, whereby I'm going to talk about something I learned. And it is serious in a way. And I'll try to keep it not political as far as possible. So what I learned was I came across an article by Goldman Sachs. And if you follow some of their policy documents, they are the ones who came up with the article about BRIC, and the whole word BRIC was coined by one of Indian ladies in that team. And it was a very interesting policy document and you know, geopolitical document. So the latest one is by Jared Cohen, and he says that this era is the rise of geopolitical swing states. And he goes on to explain it. So I thought, and India is considered one of the biggest geopolitical swing states. Swing states in US are the states where, when you start the election, you don't know which way the state will go. And mostly swing states determine who becomes, which party wins, right? And then, and becomes the president. So geopolitical swing state is a new concept this guy has laid down. First and foremost thing for a geopolitical swing state has to be that that country has to be democratic and it has to be stable, right? So India is there. What the article mentions is very interesting. So when during the Cold War era, you had US, USSR, and either you were in the US camp, you joined NATO as a as a community, or there was a Warsaw Pact and you were aligned with the communist bloc, and then there were countries which were non-aligned, right? So there was a option of being non-aligned, whereby you were not aligned with either. Now the things have changed quite a bit, and honestly, this is the era where certain power, I mean, every kind of power is being derived from economic constructs, right? So US is still a superpower. It is superpower because of dollar, right? So they derive their power from the trade being in dollar denomination. Similarly, China is a superpower because of the control over supply chain. They are the mass producers of the world. But at the same time, there is no very well-defined two or three ideologies to align with, right? So what is happening is that each of these countries is courting other big countries, and India is one being courted, because by 2030, everyone predicts that India would be the third largest economy in the world. Right. So India has that advantage. So geopolitical swing states, as I said, have to be democratic, have to be stable. And the third thing, these swing states live and exist in the world on their own terms. So we should be proud. India is a geopolitical swing state. It is multi-aligned. So geopolitical swing states will align basis you know, a specific criteria. So in Russia and Ukraine war kind of scenario, India is buying oil from Russia and it is aligned with Russia. And by the way, Russia's piece in this whole world power game is energy. So they are, you know, arm twisting Europe through energy. So it's supply chain for China, energy for Russia, and dollar trade for US. So this was something new and interesting, and I thought I should share with everyone that honestly, it felt good. I mean, India is recognized as the most powerful geopolitical swing state. And I think it bodes well if the governance is in the right direction. This bodes well for India, honestly.
For those of you who didn't figure out what BRIC stands for when Nilesh started his conversation, that is the Brazil, Russia, India, China acronym, which was created many, many years ago. So just thought I'd...
And I can't resist this joke on Cage. Did you see that? I don't even know how true it is that Elon Musk has challenged Zuckerberg to a cage fight.
Well, I'm not getting caged, but the interesting thing that I was reading about, and you know, my early years were spent in the world of advertising, and therefore I'm always trying to keep in touch with everything that's happening in the media space. And I was reading up on AI models, right? So, and I don't mean generative models and all that. These are really models that they generate for fashion. So there are there are companies who are creating models who can walk the fashion ramps for you, right? So no longer do you need to be a certain kind of person. And it's interesting because the way they're positioning it is to say that these AI generated models are for diversity and inclusion. And I'm thinking, but you can get diversity and inclusion by just getting the right models from wherever. I mean, explain that to me.
I have a issue with the inclusion part. Diversity is okay. How are you including people by excluding them?
Correct. No. So, so all kinds of avatars
maybe
will happen
a favor
with these models. But the bigger thing that I was thinking about is that, you know, when we were in the world of advertising, a lot of these Miss Universes and Miss Worlds and all of that, right? So I don't know if you remember, but at a time when India won the first round of Miss Worlds and Miss Universes, etc., a lot of brands really had positive advantages, especially makeup brands, right? Because now suddenly we were talking about, you know, look and feel and hair and fashion and all of that happening. I'm wondering if we have AI models who are going to now walk the ramp and be on fashion shows, what happens to the Miss Universes and the Miss Worlds? Would they be running contests on which model created by AI is better looking or better spoken or better whatever than another model? What happens to the career of all the people who are in the world of modeling?
Terrible,
it's quite
terrible.
Funny and it's quite fascinating because I'm just wondering what happens to all these programs which we grew up on. At least I grew up watching Miss World and Miss Universe quite regularly. And that was something that triggered my thoughts this week.
So people who might have you ever wondered, you know, when why you start crying, if you're crying, then why do you have a running nose as well? So apparently there is something called a lacrimal punctum, which is a small hole in your eyelid, which drains tears from your eyes into your nose, which is the reason we are having it. So, you know, it's no big mystery there. And from there onwards, without meaning any disservice or any kind of offense to anyone. And this is right off Twitter, frankly. So there was this very popular prompt that said, write a biblical verse in the style of the King James Bible, explaining how to remove a peanut butter sandwich from a VCR. Good problem to give God, but yes, let's go from there. So it starts, and this is, I'm reading this out actually verbatim because it's not possible to kind of memorize this. And it came to pass that man was troubled by a peanut butter sandwich, for it had been placed within his VCR and he knew not how to remove it. And he cried out to the Lord, saying, "Oh Lord, how can I remove this sandwich from my VCR? For it is stuck fast and will not budge." And the Lord spoke unto him, saying, Fear not, my child, for I shall guide thy hand and show thee the way. Take thy butter knife and carefully insert it between the sandwich and the VCR and gently pry them apart. And with patience and perseverance, the sandwich shall be removed and thy VCR shall be saved. And the man did as the Lord commanded, and lo and behold, the sandwich was removed from the VCR and the man was saved. And the Lord said, Verify, I say unto thee, seek not to put thy peanut butter sandwich in the VCR, for it is not a suitable place for such things. Rather, keep thy sandwiches in thy refrigerator or on thy plate where they belong. And the man heeded the Lord's words, and from that day forth, he kept his sandwiches in their proper place and was saved from the trouble and woe. Amen.
Just to correct, I think at the start I was you mentioned Twitter. This is ChatGPT, right? I think.
I came on Twitter, but this is a ChatGPT prompt. Absolutely correct.
And
exactly,
you know, on ChatGPT prompts. I mean, a fantastic prompt, firstly, and output is mind-boggling, man. So no wonder. I mean, this has become a job now. Prompt engineers, right? I mean, prompt engineers has become a full-time job. And I presume, you know, if you want a quality output, the input has to be quality, right?
I can see the quality of input. I mean, honestly,
the quality of the problem. Peanut butter sandwich inside a VCR, mistaken for a video cassette.
Has to be a problem set up by a boomer.
Correct.
Right? I don't think Gen Z knows what is VCR.
I agree with you. I was just going to say that somebody our age has set this up, because who knows a VCR? It is so bizarre. and I'm doing some really horrible rhyming. But I love the response. No wonders creative guys are losing their jobs, man. If this is the response, I think it's phenomenal to have.
I mean, maybe it's just fake, but I mean, it is almost believable, right? I mean, maybe somebody engineered it, but it's a poor, but it is like
Samiran,
really
but
God's
this is,
word.
This is becoming the new fun thing, right? So remember the good old days when people were on Facebook and it would say, click on this to see how you will look in the next 50 years types. The new thing that is going around is to say, here is one piece and here's another one. A piece, one is written by people and one is written by ChatGPT, and tell us which one is which, right? And that's becoming the new game for people. So I'm thinking maybe we should write a couple of things on ChatGPT and see what comes up and share with the team next time and say, do you think we wrote this or ChatGPT wrote this?
I have a feeling the next step should be, you know, connect the ChatGPT. I'm sure it is already there. I mean, you have language models, right? You connect it and actually synthesize the voices. Probably the podcast is also going to be AI generated.
So I was just thinking, just I'll give some prompt and write some garbage and attribute it to ChatGPT. I think that will be the way to go. That is what I'll do.
So on that happy note, Samiran, do you want to also give us one really crazy fact and then end this episode?
So I don't know how crazy it is, but I mean, I won't call it solemn either. But you know, the practice of playing music for callers on hold actually began with a faulty telephone line. So there was a loose wire touching the steel frame of an office building, causing it to act as a giant video receiver. So allowing callers to hear music from the local radio station while they were on hold. So that's apparently the genesis of the lovely hold music that is there. And on that, again, totally useless fact, I hope you enjoyed listening to this. I hope it kind of just sparks some thinking. Maybe you do some more Google searches. Maybe you have to figure out a way to monetize that from Google, you know, searches coming from our podcast. That was an interesting one. But thank you again for listening. Do keep listening to our podcast. Subscribe, share, like, listen again, listen 2-3 times possibly. And until the next time, thank you.